our hands to give you glory. We lift our hands to give you praise. Cause I'll praise you, Lord. I'll praise you, Lord. Cause I'm gonna praise you. Everybody say,
we lift our hands to give you glory. And we lift our hands to give you praise. I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord.
I'll praise you, Lord.
And I'm going to praise you.
And I'm going to praise.
We lift our hands.
Yeah.
oh, we'll see how great.
How great.
How great.
Bondage, I am free, yeah. No more shackles, no more shackles.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah.
No more shackles, no more shackles.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah.
So lift your voice and say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Somebody shout
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Somebody say
hallelujah,
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 hallelujah. Hey,
I will be home. I still believe.
presence of the Lord, guess what? Is the fullness of joy. And at his right hand, guess what? There are pleasures forevermore. That's the completion. That's the fulfillment of us in Christ. Amen. And I thank God for these young people, these young adults. Amen. I thank God for them. And to our musicians and to everybody, amen. To our preachers, amen. Even in their absence. And guess what? When they're called to go, they got to go. Amen. Thank God for Reverend Williams, who's over at Christ Faith this morning. We are praying for him, amen, this morning. And to our deacons, to my wife, amen. Thank God for her. Those of you that have your Bibles and our mothers and my mother, we thank God for you all. Please turn your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to read some stuff. I'm going to read a lot, right? Just to give a background for what was going on and what was being done here, man. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you not with excellency of speech, but of wisdom. I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him being crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." If you could turn your attention to chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at the 6th verse. "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn and us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why doest thou glory as if thou had not received it?" Because what they were doing was they were trying to act like the knowledge and the philosophy they had, they came up with them within their own mind. Amen? "Now ye are full, now ye are rich, and reign as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we might reign also." And Paul's being a little bit sarcastic here with them, because he was comparing to them, showing them that you're acting like you guys are puffed up, right? You're acting like kings, and you're acting like you're above a reproach, and you're above everybody else, and you're living this glamorous life. But I don't know about you, but that's not the life I live. That's what Paul was saying. Paul was in Rome when he was writing this. And then he says, "And I think that God has set for us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, to the angels and to men." That means we're last. We're servants, we're slaves. We're treated like bondmen. "And we are fools for Christ's sake, but you say you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor." Listen, we don't have that glamorous life. We got to labor. We got to work with our hands. We're being reviled. We bless. Even though we're being reviled, we're blessed. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made, this is what he said, "We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring And the off-scouring was when the ship and the food got light on the ship, those slaves and those weak, they were malnourished, they would throw them off the boat first. And he says, as preachers, this is what he was comparing his life to, which was the very opposite of what these other preachers were comparing their lives to, of the rich and the ritzy and the glam and the fame and all this stuff, right? And he says, and this is what he says. He says, I write not these things to beat you up. I write not these things for your to shame you, but you are my beloved sons. I'm writing these things to warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel as a father to a son. Paul was instructing them. Wherefore I beseech ye, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some of you are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. Puffed up, braggadocious. Amen? In pride, walking around with their chest popped out. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will and will not. The speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word. That means not in man's word, but in power. That's what we're going to talk about. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Amen. And the title I have, when he says he came to them, even in love. And we look at the love of Jesus Christ. And we look at this verse, for God so what? Loved the world. That he what? Gave his only begotten son. That whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loved us so much that he sent his son to be crucified, that his power might be manifested, that Jesus Christ would draw all men unto himself. So the title I have is Love Plus the Cross. Love, you can do the plus sign. Plus the cross equals equal signs. God's manifest power. Amen. Love plus the cross equals God's manifest power. I pray to be obedient to the Spirit. Amen. To stay on track. To be done when the Lord says you're done. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you, we bless and we praise your name. To know that you alone are so worthy. You are worthy. Oh God, and we know that you can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think of, according to the power that works in us. God, help us just continue to be crucified by the cross of Calvary. Paul said, I am crucified with you. Nevertheless, we live. We can't live. We can't do it. I can't preach. We can't run the church. We can't make it happen. Only you can make it happen, God. And it's through our death and suffering, personally, oh God, that you're able to work through us. Just as God was in Christ Jesus. Oh God, reconciling the world. Jesus. God, you must work through us. Christ must work through us and reconcile those who are in our path back to yourself. Help, oh God, that people won't see us, but people will see you. God, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you for us in Jesus' name. And for sake we pray, let everybody say amen. 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 Love plus the cross equal God's manifest power. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God just for who he is. Thank God to know that he is God all by himself, and besides him, there is none other. Amen. And I just thank God. I thank God for, I mean, I'm telling you, Brother Will, he might as well got up here and preach the message. I'm serious. And I thank God for that, brother, because he's for real. Amen. And his wife. And I just thank God because the church is under attack like it's never been before. And I thank God for the challenge of Deacon Wright challenging our parents. Man, and I thank God, man, we see a full adult class, women's class, and the men's class. Man, they got it going on. But the children's class, listen, we need to get our children back. And when I saw all them kids on yesterday, I was like, my goodness. Right? I'm not going to pick on any certain families. who the parents are having just grandbaby after grandbaby. Amen. But guess what? The Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full with children. Amen. I mean, we got on the wagon. We got on the hayride. And I'm telling you, if they got Deacon Norman's grandchildren, he's not here. But all of the children, all of the babies, I was just like, I mean, we had fun yesterday. Amen. And I just thank God to Justin for Mimi and Lauren and those. We had an awesome time. And the Lord just broke my heart, y'all. That's what it's all about. It's not about me. Listen, it's not about us. But it's about the Lord and what he's doing in the lives of our children. Amen. And I'm telling you, more than ever before, we've got to train them up. We've got to train up our children in the way they should go. Because the church, the local church, is under attack. And Hollywood is out to reduce and to expose the local church and has launched a fiery arrow through these movies that come out to expose the scandal that goes on in the church. And they want to depict it as, man, that's every church. Amen. That's every church. And what they want to do is how the church is one big show, which things we have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. And guess what? And we have a form of worship, even in these churches that don't stick to the gospel, that don't deal with death, and a form of worship. But the church has lost its effectiveness and power and true deliverance and people being set free from sin and bondage. Amen. That's what it's about. And that song they sung when I came in, freedom, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. Amen. If you are not in love with this word of God and broken to it, we're going to talk about the gospel. You can forget it. This world is no friend of grace. And the enemy has set a trap and a snare to continue to keep us in bondage. Amen. And we see here in Corinthian church. And it's amazing that every book, listen, we're praying through the Corinthians, and I urge all of you to be a part of that. Because it seems like every book that we've gone through, it's like, man, this is the time we're living in right now. Even when we were in Revelation, the stuff that was going on in the world. When we were in Daniel, the stuff that's going on now. And now we're in Corinthians. And we see the depiction and the attack against the church. And I'm not even going to mention the movie that's out there. But here in Corinth, and with all the influence of the world, the question is, who is influencing who? Are we influencing the world? Or is the world influencing us? Listen, y'all, are we impacting the world? Or is the world impacting us? Are we shaping the culture? Or is the culture shaping us? And listen, this church in Corinth was powerless. They were powerless. They had it going on. They had eloquent speakers. And it was, and this church of Corinth was just, the culture was a, like a debating, intellectual, educated society. And the cross was beneath them. And that's why, and even in Romans, the cross was beneath them. The cross was a barbaric. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the what? Somebody say power. Power unto salvation. To everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also the Greek. It's the cross. Amen. And it's the preaching of the cross. Amen. And they used to sing, let Jesus lead you all the way. And he said, all the way from earth to heaven. Let Jesus lead you all the way. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, Jesus can lead you all the way. And guess what, y'all? The preaching of the cross has the power to take a man that used to be sinful, used to be a womanizer, used to be a drunkard, or a woman that used to sleep around, or whoever the person was, whatever the gutter was they were in. But the gospel has the power to take that man and save that man and save that woman, pick them up, turn them around, and place their feet on solid ground. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the preaching of the gospel. And that's the preaching that I'm not ashamed of. Amen. And now listen, and I'll go one step further. Not only if it has the power to save me, to change me, to deliver me, to pick me up. Amen. And I'm telling you, I thank God for this street ministry. I thank God for our prison. We got to get back into prison. I thank God for all of the outreach. Guess what? We are not a bunch of people who've been there and know this and been good all of our lives. But I thank God for addiction class that Pastor Wright had back in the late 80s. Amen. We are people, guess what? We weren't saved our whole life. We weren't perfect all our whole life. When we think back to what we used to be and what we used to do and who we used to rip and run with, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But God's grace, for by grace, what grace? How much grace? We thank God for his grace that saved us, that called us, that saved us and picked us up. All the way from earth to glory. That's the power of the preaching of the gospel. And not only that, but it's the power to sustain you. It's the power to keep you. Amen. Amen. So my question is, who are you shaping? Who are you shaping? Who are you influencing? Who are you impacting? Are you impacting the world, or is the world impacting you? Because through this attack, or against the church. Now, when I say attack against the church, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. And the what? Very gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen? But the attack is more, I see the Lord showing me on the local church. The local church is under attack. That the local church is rendered powerless because we've not applied the cross in the church and in our personal lives. Amen? And so now that the covers come off and some of the scandal has been exposed, right? What the devil wants to do, he wants to point at the church and say, look, I told y'all, they ain't no better than anybody else. They lust and they got their own scandal going on just like everybody else. Amen? But how many know that's not every church? That's not every believer. Amen? And the devil is a defeated foe and his time is coming soon. Amen? And he is under our feet. The enemy is exposing this stuff. Amen? And it reduces when we don't know. Listen, they were powerless in this church. Because it reduces the witness of the church, amen, down to the level of the world. And what good is it to have rhetorical preachers, enticing words. And this is what Paul was dealing with in chapter 1. And enticing words and philosophy and the top educated men. And these men were placed on pedestals, but there's no manifestation of the power of God. And that's why Paul said, listen, and I looked at this word. Y'all, look, y'all, we're going to flip it just a little bit. In verse 5, he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Chapter 2, verse 5, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, just flip back a page. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. And then verse 18, he says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the what? Y'all say power. Shout power. Power of God. So he says power of God here in verse 18. He says power of God here in chapter 2, verse 5. And it was the power of God, that God's power be manifested in this church, that their faith would stand in his power, not in the power of a hot service, not in the power of an emotional service, not in the power of the ability of what somebody can do. Amen. But in the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Man, listen, there was carnality in the church. There was fleshly living in the church. Chapter 3, he says this. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Verse 2. Because you were carnal. Right? You were not able to bear it. For where there are, and this is how he knew they were carnal. Y'all know why? Because this is what was going on in the church. There was envy going on in the church. There was jealousy going on in the church. That's what Brother Willie just talked about. There was strife going on in the church. People chiding against one another in the church. People not getting along in the church. People saying, I don't want to work with this person. In church, people trying to come up with great ideas, and my idea is better than his idea, and his idea is better than her idea. And they were running around in the church, jockeying. They were following other preachers. Amen. They were following other preachers. Listen, and they were divided. There was cliques. Oh, y'all don't know what a clique is, right? There were cliques in the church. Amen. This group over here. This group over here. And this group over here. And they all were behind another preacher. Amen. And they were saying, well, no, our preacher is the best. Or our preacher is the best. Or our preacher is the best. And that's why Paul said, I came not to know any of this nonsense. And y'all ever been like, man, there's something going on. There's an argument going on. And really, both people are wrong. Right? And guess what? And you stop and try to sort it out. Well, let me hear your side. And let me hear this person's side. Well, she, and that's this. I'm giving y'all an example of night going on in my house. Right? Right? But guess what? There is no side. It's not my side. It's not Amir's side. It's not a Marmar side. It's not Deacon Jake's side. It's not Deacon Manning or Brother Willie or anybody else's side. Yo, we got one side. And that's the side of Jesus Christ. We have one word. Amen. And that is the word of Jesus Christ. And we pray that we're broken to this word and that the word of God has to win out. Right? So he says, I fed you not with meat because you were carnal, fleshly. The flesh, the old man and the new man. Right? You you are carnal, like mere men. For one says I'm a fallen, one says I'm a polished. Are you not that carnal? And guess what? When we see division in a church, and we see rifts in a church, that's a dead giveaway that it's a carnal church. And that's what was going on here. And y'all know what's even worse? They were boasting in gifts. So here they had all these problems beneath the surface because the power of God was not penetrating the surface in the land. And but yet on the surface, on top of the surface, they were saying, I have this gift. I can preach in tongues. I can prophesy. I can perform miracles. They were doing all these things. Let's turn 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen to this. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I have not love, I am become a sounding brass. Right? Tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, this is what the Bible said, and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though, listen to this, and though I have faith, y'all see that? To remove mountains. I don't know, I want that kind of faith, right? I want to be able to remove mountains. Right? And have not love, Paul says, I am nothing. What? I'm nothing. I got all these gifts. Man, and I can come up here in this pulpit and get people magnetized. And I got the faith to perform miracles in the church. And there's somebody here with a pink dress on. I don't know who I'm talking to. But God told me in 3 days. He just told me 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days. He just told me 3 days. And the person's like, oh my goodness. He's talking about me. And I've seen that in the service. We've seen it, right? Hook, line, and sinker. Right? And we've got the ability to attract talent and all these things. But if I have not love, and that love is not talking about, oh, I just love people. No, it's talking about the love of Christ. Because real love deals with, and I got a house. Man, I'm cheating on my wife, but I'm able to do all that stuff. My children are a mess at home. There's no deliverance in my own house. But I'm able to do all that stuff. Guess what? I need to go somewhere and sit down. Amen. He and that's what he says. He said, listen, real love. Real love. Real love. Real love. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Amen. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Do it behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. You ought to meet some people they only worried about their stuff and their children and what they got going on. But it's what the Bible tells us in Philippians. Don't think about your stuff, but think about the things of others. Be interested in somebody else's stuff. Let us be like-minded. Let us have the same mind. Let us put on the mind of Christ. And then it says this. This is the real love. It says, it doeth not behave itself unseemly. Seek of not her own. It's not easily provoked. Think of no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. This is what love does. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. And then love endures something. Oh, I just want to make sure y'all won't. Guess what? There's nothing that you can go through when you've come through the cross. There's nothing that you can, the devil can't put nothing on you that God can't bring you through. It's this overwhelming, this loving love of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's his love, and that's the love we're talking about. Amen. Listen, in this church, they had no answer for the carnality. that was going on. They had no answer for the division that was going on in the church. They had no answer for the jealousy and the strife, because they were resting in the power of man as opposed to resting in the power of God. Amen? They were resting in these speakers and in these preachers and hanging their hat on men and not of God. Amen? And that's why he said, "When and our brethren, I came unto you, I did not come with excellency of speech or wisdom." Declare wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. "For I determined not to know anything among you except for Jesus Christ." Amen. "And him being crucified." And this is what he said. Listen, y'all. Oh, Jesus. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Who did Paul fear? Did he fear the people? Who did he? Why was he trembling? Was he trembling because of people? No, he was trembling to make sure that he was slain, that he was out of the way, that he would not hinder. Amen. And y'all, guess what? Paul could have dealt with these men. He was number two under Gamaliel, circumcised on the eighth day. He was a Hebrew of Hebrew, Pharisee of Pharisee, studied under Gamaliel. Amen. Of the stock of Benjamin. And y'all know. Man, listen, I was sitting in the meeting the other day, and man, I didn't like what was going on in the meeting. My blood was boiling in the meeting. And I said, "No, man, hot nose." My nose started sweating. Amen. My blood started boiling. And God spoke to me in a, "Shut your mouth. You are not going to get back. You've got to step to the side." Somebody say, "Step to the side." Sometimes you got to speak to your old man. "Not today, devil." Amen. And you've got to step to the side when the political arenas try to pull you with these signs that are so insensitive that I'm not even going to repeat what the signs say. And people driving around with these signs on trucks and all these things, we've got to be reminded that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness where? In high places. My old man has to be crucified. I can't give him a piece of my mind. Because y'all know we got professional teller offers. Y'all know what a professional teller offer is? Man, people that could tell you off back in the day. Seriously, they could get with you. I had a sister that said, I ain't going to say her name. She said, "Boy, some people got the gift. They could, I wish I could just be able to just, I don't have a comeback. I don't got a good comeback game." Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? But once you meet this love of Christ and you've come through the cross, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him first what? Deny himself. Take up his cross." I'm speaking to somebody in here. "And follow me." When you want to give somebody a peace, they don't know who I was. They don't know who I used to be. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done in my life, when I think about the mess that I used to be and where I was, I would be somewhere rolling around on the ground. But Jesus has come in, changed me, rearranged me. He set me free. He whom the Son seriously has set free is free indeed. And although my blood was boiling, guess what? I had to give it to Jesus that everything would be all right. Amen. And just pray, even under my breath, and say, "Lord, you got, what do you think you're going to do?
are you really going to do? Do y'all know greater is he that is in you? He can do so much more than you. And sometimes we got to give it over to him. And God won't fight the battle. You know why? Because we're trying to fight it ourselves. Somebody's still trying to fight with the devil. Somebody's still trying to fight with a family member. Somebody's still trying to fight with the boss. Somebody's still trying to fight with a child. Somebody's still trying to fight with a neighbor. You, listen, they don't know. Somebody say, they don't know. They don't know the God that I serve. I'm going to give it to him. I've watched God over my life handle things and handle people and make them my footstool. And that's what he's able to do. Amen? So the first point that I have is, when Paul said, I came unto you, right? In weakness and in fear and in trembling. Listen, this was the very opposite of what they were trained in. This was the very opposite of what these preachers, weakness, what is that? What do you mean, weak? Man, you get up there, and as Minister Tobin says, you pull yourself up by your britches. And you stand there flat-footed. No, not at all. He said, I was in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of spirit and of power. Guess what? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Love plus cross equals God manifest power. I said that already. That's the title. But the first point, he rested in the manifest power of God. Amen. He rested in the manifest power of God. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of that power, there is that power. Y'all see that? We're going to talk about this power. That word power. That power is of God and out of us. We're troubled on every side, but not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That death works in me. But life, somebody say life. Life in somebody else. Amen. And guess what? When I talk about the preaching of the cross, we all have a responsibility to preach the cross. The preaching of the cross is not just for the preacher, but the preaching of the cross is for everybody. 2 Corinthians 3:1 says, do we again begin to commend ourselves with letters of recommendation from you? You are our epistle, written in hearts, known and read of all men. And my question is, what's written on your letter? And who's reading your letter? We all have a letter. Amen? We all have a testimony. And I don't mean verbally giving a testimony where God brought you from, but we all have a light. And how is your light shining? For as much as we are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. That's why Paul can say, it's not by our, or Zechariah can say, it's not by our power. It's not by our might, but it's by his what? Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's why he can say at the end of this chapter, Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Who's writing your letter? Amen? Amen? What is your occupation? Maybe you work in a school. Maybe you own a bus. Maybe you clean. Maybe you're a manager. Maybe you're a homemaker. Wherever, maybe it's getting your kids to Sunday school. Wherever you go, and Deacon Wright says it, we're going into the mission field. We are going into the mission field. Ask yourself the question, who's seen Christ in your life? Man, I met this lady. She don't work for my company, for my job, on my job. But she's like a contractor. And I forget what country she's from, but she wears the garment over her head. And when I first met her, for weeks, she would barely look at me. She wouldn't even look at me. And if I would speak to her, she would just do this. But guess what? We have to be at a place where we know who we are in Christ. And we have to be who we are in Christ. Man, that there ought to be something manifested from your pores. Even if you don't say anything, your actions speak of Jesus Christ. Or you just go on your job, you just look right mean. Lip poked out. Amen. Nobody won't be next to you. Nobody won't be around you. Amen. But it's the love. Listen, and I was just, man, I was just being myself. I would start a little conversation with her. Not crazy. Not beating her up over the head with my hand. But just being nice. And guess what? Little by little, she started speaking to me. Little by little, and eventually, I'm talking about months went past. Right? And now, hey, how you doing? Hey, Randy, how are you today? And guess what? There was a couple days where I was down. And I'm going through. And listen, and when y'all see somebody, and you be like, such and such didn't speak to me. Y'all know that. We get bent out of shape. Who somebody sat with? Somebody sat in my seat. Such and such didn't speak to me, but he spoke to her. And y'all know what? The devil puts thoughts in our mind. And people will come in this church like everybody's against them. Amen? Because of the spirit of rejection. And you'll think it's you against the world. Everybody's not against you. Sometimes some people have a bad day. And I must have been having a bad day. I think I was just really busy. And I remember back months ago, she was barely speaking to me. And then my head was down. She said, hey! She yelled, how you doing? Are you okay? She's asking me now. Was I okay? And I had to get a grip. Jesus said, get a grip. I'm myself. Amen. Get myself together. Oh, I'm sorry. I ain't going to say the lady's name. How you doing today? Man, and we had a wonderful conversation. She still wears the garb on her head. She's still probably in the Muslim religion. But guess what? The gospel is not something that's preached. But the gospel must be lived. And I'm telling you, I never used to see her smile. Now she's smiling from ear to ear. Did I quote scripture to her? No. But there's something about the name of Jesus. There's something in that name. The Bible says there's something about his name that even if you don't say the name, you can live the name. And too many people are saying the name. And not living the name. But when you live the name of Jesus, people will take note. Not because you've been so good. Not because of something you've done. Because Christ will empower you. Christ will equip you. Christ will speak for you and telling you. And people will come to you. People don't even know. Man, one girl was like, can you just pray? She heard. heard something. I don't know what she heard. But she, they got to watch you walk. I'm sorry, I'm moving. They got to watch you walk. We're not winning people by what we say. I can say a whole lot of things. And guess what? If I'm not living right, my wife's going to be sitting in that pew. I hear you preaching in there. But you got some problems at home, brother. And I've seen that happen. When one wife said, listen, let me keep going, y'all, before I get in trouble. Amen. But it's not about, it's how we live our lives. We've got to live the name of Jesus. It must be. So I'm asking you a question. Where do you go? Who do you work with? Who do you come into contact with? Do they see Christ? This world is dying. This world is perishing. Turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. Thank God for Evangelist Claudia on Friday. Amen. Listen. So the first point I gave was he rested in the manifested power of God. Number two, it's the power of a personal cross. Amen. And so that's what we got to know. Bible says, Matthew 16:24, I already quoted, but I'm going to quote it again. Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must first what? Deny himself and take up his cross. Y'all, guess what? This church is so much bigger than me. This church is not about me. Guess what? God could move me out the way tomorrow. But we've got to make sure this church is planted on a sure foundation. Amen. And so when my grandfather used to talk about, amen, upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the very gates of hell shall not prevail. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, amen, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth anything. Amen. And verse 9 says, for we are laborers together. We are God's husbandry. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given, 3:10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation. Listen, the reason why churches are powerless, they have the wrong foundation. We need to know that, that somebody else buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he builds on, for no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. The Bible says he loved us from the foundation of the world. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Listen, we've got to know it's about the cross and Jesus' death on that cross. Amen? Because what's happening is the devil wanted to keep them in a religious law. Keep asleep in religiosity and doing all these works in the church. Amen? And y'all know, the devil wants us in a religious lullaby where we can come in here and have a shout good time. Not that we do that every week. But leave out of these four walls. And we're asleep to sin. We're asleep to bondage, and we keep tripping over ourselves in our homes and generational curses and hexes and vexes and satanic stuff and witches and warlocks and can't get right and other things because there's no power in our lives and there's no power in the church. Amen? Paul said, no other foundation can any man lay than that which was laid in Jesus Christ. And I need 5 minutes. Paul preached to these leaders and to these preachers, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, in these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above, which is written. He says, verse 8, now you are full, now you are rich, and reign kings without us. And I would to God that ye reign, that ye also might reign with us. But verse 9 says, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. Y'all see that? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels of men. And what he was talking about, the spectacle was the amphitheater that they had in that town and in Rome. And the spectacle, there were those that would fight with gladiators. And they would send out the soldiers first to fight with these gladiators. And then another group to fight with the gladiators. But last, they were sent out like the slaves and the people that were in prison. Right? And they would just throw them to the wolves and send them out amongst lions and tigers and Roman soldiers, gladiators, that they would be killed. And there was a movie that depicted this description. And I even read where they would say, they would salute those men that were going out on that battlefield. They would salute them and say, have a good death. That's what they would say. And he made them spectacles. This is what Paul said, what he was going through. Bit by a viper. Whipped 39 times plus one. Shipwreck. And hungers. Journeys in the deep. Journeys in storms, and in fasting, and naked, pearls of men, pearls of countrymen. All that he went through. And then you would think, man, all right, Paul suffered. And then all of a sudden, here comes a thorn. What? Here comes a thorn to buffet me, unless I should be exalted. Where? Above measure. That's the suffering of self. And that's what all of us need to go through. Not just the preachers. That Christ might be made manifest in our lives. He said, we are made fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we hunger and we thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. But these preachers in the Corinthian church, they want to walk around with Prada and Gucci and Maine and DKNY and their shoes and their Rolexes and their Bentleys and their BMWs and all this stuff. That's what was going on in this church. Paul had to let him know. That's why he was fearing. That's why he was in weakness. That's why he was trembling. That he doesn't get in the way. That he's not seen. But that somebody else would see Jesus Christ. Me as a pastor, the worst thing that I could go through is for somebody to see me and miss the cross. Amen. Y'all, we've got to die. We've got to die to how we feel. We've got to die to how we think. And I said last week, if somebody could take your mind and put it up on that screen right now, somebody would be like, man, how long is this dude going to be preaching up there? We've got to give up of ourselves. And that was the suffering of self. So we talked about, he, listen, I gave the points. He rested in the manifested of the power of God. personal, the power of the personal cross. And the last point that I have is the power of personal love. You've got to have a radical love in order to die. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Listen, and this is what he said, preachers. He was preaching to them. And this is what he said they really had to get. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Says this. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one die for all, we are all dead. And I got news for you. If you are not in love, you will not die to yourself. You will be crucified and follow Christ. But you'll be like, I can only go so far. And that's it. He got 12:30 to get done this message. I'm like, I'll get done. Are you in love? Or is it, man, when you are in love for real, man, a man will do anything for his wife. And we were in love with some things in the world, and we did it. We would run through a brick wall to get it. Paul says the love of Christ compels me. And it was the love of Christ that compelled Paul. We've got to know him intimately. It's not enough just to come to church once a month, get in the Bible study once a month. I might go, no. And I'm not even talking about the church. I'm talking about personally. We've got to be in love. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowing me. Close the book. We're destroyed because we're not in love. When we're in love, Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor powers, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing, somebody say nothing. Nothing can separate us from this love of Christ. And I say it every week, my greatest times of joy and praise is when I'm all by myself through this word. And I told a story in Bible study. How about my father? He was just lost in the word. He was sitting at the table eating. And he was studying. I don't know if he had to preach the next day. I forget what it was. My mom was cooking on the stove. And he was picking up his fork. And he was reading. And then he was picking up his fork while he was reading. And he put the fork like right here. Right here. Right? He looked down in the word of God. And then he put the fork down. He didn't eat. And he looked at me like he was looking straight through me. And you know what he said? He was like, man, this word is something else. Did not our hearts burn within? If you're not there, I pray that you get there. And I was driving. We had a party yesterday. Thank God. Amen. For Sister Wilson turned 70. Amen. And I had to leave. And I had to come back. And there was this preacher on the radio. And he was saying, that's why I can't take credit for this. He said, you ever go somewhere and you think you know somebody, but you really don't know them, but you know them by looking at them. You're familiar with them, but you really don't know their name. And I'd be tapping my wife, like, what's her name again? Because, I'm the worst. I know people and I love them too. And I'd be forgetting their names. I don't know if it's because I turned 50 or what. But he said, and you go up to that person, you start a conversation, I can have a conversation. Man, how you doing? How's your mother doing? How is this person doing? Right? And they can look at me and they'd be like, what's my name? What's my name, Pastor Wright? I'd be like, and I know, and one girl, she got me good. I knew her name, and I called her name, but I wasn't sure. Amen. But she was upset because it took me so long to come to her name. Man, I left out of my car, went back into the banquet last night, got in there, and I'm getting my food, and I'm coming back to my table, and I say, hey, how you doing? Good, good, good. How you been? Good. She said, what's my name? And I said all that to say this. And many shall come to me in that day and say, God, we've done all these things. I was born in the church. My grandfather was he founded the church. My uncle was the deacon of the church. He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They got Forever Williams. Amen. I never knew you. Paul knew this love of Jesus Christ. And it was the love of Jesus Christ that propelled him through the cross. And it was the love of Jesus Christ that propelled Jesus Christ to the cross. And he became obedient to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has given him a name above every name. That's the resurrection power. Y'all, that's the power that we have. That's the power that we have. Delegated authority in our homes, in our families, in our communities, on our jobs, in our schools, on the bus, whether you work on the back of the trash truck. Matter of fact, that's a great, can I get a job doing that? Man, I will meet so many people. Wherever you go, it's Christ's power manifest in you. Let's give God a hand clap of praise as we stand to our feet. And if there's somebody here and you do not know this love of Jesus Christ, and you think you know him, you can't know him on basis of your grandmother or your grandfather. But seriously, there is a hell, y'all. And there is a heaven. And if you don't know Jesus Christ personally, you need to come. You can walk right down this aisle. I'll come down and stand with you to accept Jesus Christ into your heart. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, it's the heart that God has raised you from the dead, you shall be saved. As the choir sings, is there one? Is there one? Is there one? You can come right now. Is there one that would like to rededicate their life back to Jesus Christ to know you're not in love? You've forgotten your first love, and you've strayed away. You're into stuff, and you want to rededicate your life. You can also come. Is there one? Those who would like to come around for prayer, we're going to close out around this altar. Amen. I love.